5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
Well, you know what time that is. When you hear that music and you see this episode being posted, you know it's the Justin James Show. I am your host, Justin James. Thank you so much for tuning in and downloading us and listening to this podcast. We really appreciate it. I had such a wonderful time on the last podcast we did with my son, Jacob. He is just a fun guy, isn't he? But I tell you, it's wow. I hope that you had a good Labor Day. I hope that you have some rest and that you were able to put your feet up and just enjoy time with the family. But there's been a lot going on, so I'm going to ask you to keep me in prayer. I'm going to do an episode of some fun things that have been going on in my life in the last few weeks, and I'll probably do that later. It's been interesting, but the Lord is still good. Classes are going well, and I'm still chunking away at it, and hopefully one day I'll be able to finish and share that victory with you. But if you'd like to be a part of the program, my email address is justinjamesshow. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. You're welcome to email me if you have your questions, comments. And if it's a rude remark, I'm probably going to delete it. Or if it's too rude or if it's in a way inappropriate, then I have to contact the proper authorities. So just be a little bit wise on that. But I'm always open to criticism. And for people that want to disagree with me, hey, come on, let's talk about it. That's what this podcast is about, especially when we're dealing with Christian living. And there's somebody sent this to me the other day. This is interesting. Apparently, this is from the BJC. The BJC. I'm not sure what the BJC really stands for. I don't know. Something Baptist. I was looking on the website to see if I can find it. I couldn't. If you know it, email it to me, and I'll love to. We'll tell you what the acronym means of BJC. But the BJC is a. They do a lot of interesting ethical things, dealing with Congress, dealing with nations, things like that. And one of the things here, this is an article by Don Bird, and it was published August 8th, 2019, which was. What, about a month ago or so? Okay, so here's interesting. This is something very, very interesting. A BJC led campaign to rally Christians against the presidented threat of Christian nationalism is less than 2 weeks old, but it has already generated some central support of new coverage. In the first 10 days of this campaign, more than 10,000 Christians from different denominations, affiliation, representing all 50 states in the United States, have signed a statement decrying Christian nationalism, which is describing a seek to merge Christianity and America ideals. In part, this is what it says here, Christian nationalism demands Christianity be the privilege by the state and imposes that to be good Americans, one must be a Christian. Okay. Man, I don't know where to start with that. Okay. First, I've read this whole article here and it's fascinating because the first thing I want to understand is who's pushing for this. Now, according to the article, the Grassroots Initiative have already been covered by The Hill, The Vice or Vice, Religious News Services, Pathos, the Chattanooga Times Free Press, Baptist News Global, and the Baptist Standard, which is in Texas, and the Episcopal News Service. Okay, so apparently they've been pushing for this, or they've been pushing against Christian nationalism. Okay. And of course, this is still kind of going on. Of course, there was a podcast series about this, about with Amanda Taylor, with the BJC director, statement organizing Amanda Taylor alludes to some troubling signs that Christian nationalism, may be stuck in a high tide. Okay, let's back up for a second. let's back up. First of all, where is this idea of Christian nationalism coming from? Seriously, where is this coming from? It's not coming from my friends. Yes, we are Christ. We are the church. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We want to see Christ in everybody's life. This is true. This is why we go out and we spread the gospel. We want people to understand the love of God, the understanding of grace and mercy, and the deeds that he did on the cross. That is called evangelism. Okay? We push for that. We talk about that. We have seminars after seminars after seminars after seminars. We see all kinds of numbers across the field. We push for these numbers. If you go to an SBC convention, I guarantee you this last year they were talking about going and evangelizing. This is the ideal aspect of the church. Jesus said, go and what? Make disciples. Very, very simple, right? Okay, now let's back up. Within that context, are we really pushing for a Christian state? The answer is absolutely, it's actually kind of in the middle. We kind of are. Because here's the thing, if we stand on Christian values, we know that everything else is going to build on top of that and good things are going to happen. This is kind of a domino effect, like duh, right? I mean, that's the idea, right? When you see somebody who has been struggling all their life on drugs or alcohol or porn or pornography, when we see these things and when they come to Christ and they repent and they allow Christ to grab the hold of their life, what happens? Their life changes. Everything in their life bursts out and Christ is now the center of their life and they are able to be the person that Christ wants them to be. And unfortunately to these people, and I don't know. I mean, this is crazy to me. Guess what? Their voting and their ethics are going to be like. And if you said Christ-like, biblically principled, you win the pot. You see, coming to Christ is not just necessarily, okay, I'm just now a Christian, I can continue to do what I want to do because Jesus saved me and therefore I can just continue to sin. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about antinomianism. We talked about hyper grace. We talk about these things. No, this is a change in our whole life. So here's what I want to know, Don. Who's pushing for Christian nationalism? Who's pushing for the fact that Christianity should be privileged by the state? Now, here's the interesting thing about this. Now, this is something I want you to think about. I read the news, you read the news, you watch the news, I watch the news. We all, you know, we're all kind of like that, right? But where have I seen any politician, seriously, any politician pushing for a Christian state? I mean, I mean, please chime in. Last time I saw, hang on, let's dissect this a little bit. We see a Christian baker in Oregon get slapped on the wrist because he will not bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Right? We see a florist, I believe in Colorado, who gets slapped because she will not do or send flowers or be a part of the arrangement of a homosexual wedding because of what? Her Christian beliefs. We had this huge trial with Hobby Lobby pushing against Obamacare because they didn't want to give out anything that will be against their Christian belief when it comes to the morning after pill or anything. They didn't want to pay for that. They didn't want to pay for abortion. They didn't want to pay for that. And guess what? They won. So let's pull back a little bit. I want to know who is pushing for this. Who is actually pushing for this? Because who's pushing for Christian nationalism? I guarantee you it's not necessarily me. Yes, I want conservative people in there, but I want constitutional people in there as well too. Why? Because I know the Constitution was built off what? Christian and Jewish principles. So, again, Christian nationalism demands Christianity to be privileged by the state. Where is Christian anywhere being privileged by the state? And where are these 10,000 people coming from? Now, we have to dissect this, and this is a big issue. We look at this thing, we call this thing called religious liberty. We demand religious liberty. We demand that all the religions across in the United States have the same liberty as us, right? I mean, that's like the big thing in the SBC. I mean, we have a whole article about that in our Baptist Faith and Message. Religious liberty. So, again, if you have a Christian organization coming out and saying, no, we want Christian privilege, well, duh. Here's the thing, though. But the Muslims, they want to be able to have the Sharia law. They want to be able to use their own ethics and their values and their things within their contents of what they believe, what they need to do when they're dealing within their society, with their group. Well, so again, we see this playing here. I'm confused of why any organization would send out and why 10,000 people will sign something like this. This is insane. Now, let's go a little bit deeper on this. I hope I got your attention, because I surely did. Got my attention on this. Here's the thing. This is the director, Amanda Taylor, alludes that some troubling signs that Christian nationalism may be stuck at a high tide. While she bothered by the violent attacks on individuals of House of Worship, she warns that Christian nationalism also reveals itself in less dramatic ways, i.e., as the bill in state legislature that would require biblical literacy in public schools and post the statement "In God We Trust" in public spaces. Okay. Wait, you're having a problem with that and you call yourself a Christian? Here's the thing. Many years ago, I worked for a really large ISD here in the state of Texas. It was probably one of the largest here in the area. And I was going through some books. I was in a particular room. I was looking for something. I was in a warehouse and I found this particular book. And in this book, it was 1950. It was a 1950 publication from the district. It said Survey of the New Testament. I took a picture of it and I looked everywhere for that picture. I don't know what I did with it. It's somewhere in one of my digital files. It said Survey of the New Testament, 1950. You see, they were teaching the Bible way back in the beginning of public school education. Why? Because most of the public schools that were going on, even before that, were happening where? At the churches. They didn't have the schoolhouse, per se. They transformed the schoolhouse or the church into a schoolhouse during the day where the kids can come and they learn. This is kind of the basic idea of kind of education, where it came from. And of course, we had our own schoolhouses, and then boom, 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 boom. And now we have these grand big stadiums where everybody plays football at. But man, we can't forget about the football program, but boy, man, forget about English and understanding what math is. Forget that. No. Okay, so because what, we want to push Bible courses in our public school, that's a bad thing, that's calling for Christian nationalism? Putting a statement in God we trust. Here's the thing, though. In God we trust has been around since the very beginning of time in the founding of our fathers. In fact, the Bible, again, was taught even way back then. How do you think they taught? They taught the Bible in English. You can go back and look at the records. So again, where is this idea of Christianism is? The Christians Against Christian Nationalism, she explains, is not a response to any one of these indicated, but whether as a way we counter the way we view or perceive as a growing threat. Huh? then why did you highlight them? Of course, hey, join the campaign. If you identify as a Christian, sign the statement and invite your Christian friends and family and colleagues to do the same by visiting our website, ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org. Okay. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of interesting on this. Oh, no. I want to give you my two cents on this here. Christians in American identifies as a statement says that Christians are bond to Christ, not by citizenship, by faith. Okay, so you don't want a Christian state. We get it. We can go back a look and we can see all of the different things that were going on. Constantine and how he legalized Christianity. You had evangelism by the sword. You know, it was a great time for Christianity then. Okay. But that's not going to happen here. In fact, again, who is pushing for this? They're not answering the question. I'm going to give you my thoughts here in a minute. A time when state legislators, continue to enact laws in both directly and indirectly promoting religious and public owned space, in time when politicians and government officials increasingly conflate their love of Christ and their love of the country, and the united voices of Christian against Christian nationalism is more important than ever before. I missed. All right, now I'm going to give you my two cents on this. Ready? This is not about Christian nationalism. This is not about any of that. This is about Trump. What? No, this is about Trump. This is people that are still angry that Trump represents the evangelical voice. The evangelicals came out and they voted for Trump. This is what all it comes down to is a political move to try to remove Trump out of the role of being president of our country. Because a lot of people think that he's unfit to do it. We've already talked about this on our podcast. This is incredible. Now they're going to come in and they're going to be pushing for Christian nationalism because they don't like the president of the United States standing against abortion. They don't like this president of the United States literally want to say, hey, listen, let's actually teach Bible in classes. Let's stand up for actually things that this country used to do a long time ago. Oh, Justin, you don't understand. We're changing time. No. No, I've seen the direction that's going on here, and it's horrible. Hey, I got to take a break, but listen, I got some more information I want to give to you, and I want to dive into this Benny Hinn thing. If you haven't heard about this Benny Hinn thing, you want to hear about this. We'll be right back. Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater. Are you ready for game day?
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. Omadden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
Yeah, you like that new one? That's a new one in the mix. Little Heart and Soul. Welcome back to the Justin James Show. I am Justin James. Of course, if you'd like to be a part of the program, you're welcome to be a part of the program. You just have to email me. Why? Well, because I do a pre-recorded show, and it's hard for me to have a guest live on this program. But you know what? You can email me. I will read your comment or your question, and I will get back with you. And if you'll like to be a part of the program, hey, let me know. I will call you up when I do the pre-recording. You can come on the program if you want to yell at me about something. Tell me how wrong I am or whatever it is. You're welcome to do that. My listeners are, hey, this is more your show than my show. I just give out information, and I try to have a little bit of fun doing it. Again, that email address is Justin James Show, that's with two S's at the end, JustinJamesShow at gmail.com. That's all you have to do. Just send me an email and tell me, hey, what are your thoughts? If you want me to talk about a particular subject, or if you have a question for me, or maybe you're like, hey, you know what? No, Justin, you're wrong on that. Hey, feel free. I will love to hear your feedback. It helps me to be a better broadcaster. It helps me to be a better podcaster, teacher, whatever, I guess. Okay, that was awkward. Anyway, so let's talk about Benny Hinn. Have you heard what's going on with Benny Hinn? A lot of crazy stuff. A couple of weeks ago, actually, I think, or he came out and he talked about prosperity gospel. He actually rebuked it. And so, of course, a lot of my friends immediately, they sent me the link. They said, did you see this? Did you hear this? What are your thoughts? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about me. And from there, then I want to kind of dive into this. When I first became a strong believer in Christ, I was baptized when I was 13 years old. 13, 12. Okay. And I had some issues in my life, and I blamed God for them. I immediately ran from God within my heart. I didn't really want to do anything for Him. I didn't want to do anything aspect with it. In fact, I hated the fact I hated and I disliked ministers. Not because they like abused me or anything. It's because a lot of them I caught lying. And I don't like liars. I really don't like liars. And I don't like people who try to manipulate, and that's just part of me. And I don't like that. And I think that when we're talking about a true gospel, and I'm talking about the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of His word, the truth of His love, the truth of His church, I don't think anybody necessarily should be misrepresenting that concept by lying or deceiving people. Okay. So, and I was young and I just saw some things and I just, I don't want to be a part of this. What's happening now, isn't it? That's why I'm able to speak on these issues. Anyway, I'm going to speed up the story because I really want to dive into Benny Hinn here. When I was about 17 years old, some situations happened and I went to a Christian school. I graduated a Christian high school. And I was a part of a church. It was a very, very strong, charismatic church. Great people. Very loving, very accepting, very real. I mean, the genuine article type thing. And so part of that, and I got really caught up in a lot of the charismatic aspect of the Christianity. What changed me was I had a question about a passage in the Old Testament. And so it's like, okay, I had this question. I went to my pastor, who I respect, and I said, hey, pastor, hey, I have a problem with this verse. I don't understand it. What is God trying to say there? And he said, okay, go home, pray about it. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. okay. So I went home, I prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit never revealed it to me. In fact, I was like, okay. Well, one day I was hanging out with some other pastors, and in the same type of sect, S-E-C-T, and same type of very, you know, charismatic, and I asked one of this other pastors to say, hey, I'm having problems with this. I don't know what this means. Oh, go home and pray for it, and, you know, God will reveal it to you. I was like, great, okay, all right. That's what my pastor said. I'm going to believe that because God's going to reveal his word to me. Boom, nothing. Well, I'm going to speed the story up, but making a long story short, I was at a banquet. I was like a banquet. It was a luncheon or something. I don't know. And I sat next to this guy who was a prominent pastor here in the Metroplex. And of course, he passed away recently, or that's what I've been told, because he moved out when he retired. He moved out of the state, went to a different state, kind of, you know, hanging out on the beach and, you know, doing what people retire like to do. And anyway, I asked him, I said, hey, I'm having problems with this particular verse. I don't understand it. He said, oh, that's easy. And he explained it to me. And I was like, whoa. Okay. What happened here? Why is it that you understood this verse and you can explain it to me, why all of these other people are not able to explain it to me? And he said, well, I have a PhD in Old Testament. Means is I read Greek, I read Hebrew mainly, and I work in the Old Testament and all blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, okay, where did you go to school at? He said, well, I went to a Baptist school here, you know, Southwestern. In fact, remember we interviewed Dr. Greenway a couple of weeks ago, the new president of Southwestern. I was like, oh, okay. It lit something up inside of me. It changed my whole worldview of what a Christian needs to know. I didn't have an answer. I met a man who's been studying all of his life, who can understand and help to break down the scriptures. It rocked my world to my core. So I was like, okay, make a long story short. And now here I am having the same training as this guy, because he instilled into me the importance of good theology and what a good theological education is all about. And eventually, hopefully one day, I will finish all of my degrees or whatever the Lord wants me to do. And hopefully from there, I will be able to help and pour into and help another individual push through that. But to go back, part of that worldview changing that I went through was I actually was a follower of Benny Hinn. Don't judge me. Because all I knew was what I was being shown. I rejected the actual true doctrine of what I thought was the true doctrine, because I saw how people acted and I didn't want to be a part of that. So I understand for people who say, I don't want to do anything with Christianity because all they are kind of hypocrites. Hey, listen, I get it. But let me tell you something. Not all those Christians are hypocrites. A lot of them want to truly honor God with all of their life. And the more that I studied into theology and biblical studies, and I started really breaking things down in the original languages through my training and through my education, I started understanding more and more about God's word. And the more I understood about God's word, the more I understood of what he really wants in our world, in our life. Kind of amazing, isn't it? And it showed to me a lot of the false teachings that has been going on around our country. I'm like, what? You had a kid of Copeland saying, I will never be on a plane with a whole bunch of demons. What? You have these prosperity preachers that are preaching this hyper grace. They're preaching about prosperity and goodness, but they're completely missing the whole mark of what the gospel is. But here's Benny Hinn. Something happened with him. And I'm going to play a clip here in a minute because I want you to hear it in his own words. And I want to dissect this a little bit because I see something that's happening. I see something that's happening. So we're going to play this clip and then I'm going to come right back.
Hurt my friends whom I love, who believe things I don't believe anymore. And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life. And frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore.
He made the statement. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have to give Benny here. First of all, I'm proud that he's coming out and saying that. And of course, and later in this clip, he's going to talk about he's probably not going to be asked to do a lot of telethons anymore. But he goes on and he talks about how he himself felt convicted on some of the standards that he's been on. Now, here's the funny thing about this, and this is something I want us to really kind of listen to or understand. When you look at the televangelists that are going on TV, what are they really trying to do? Are they trying to get more money? Or are they really trying to help you? You see, a lot of the times, I believe that Benny Hinn was trying to do a little bit of both. But this is, I think I hear very sincere him coming out. And the other thing is, I think that culture has literally pushed him into this corner where he has to come out and he has to correct his own theology. That's kind of astounding, isn't it? How culture created Benny Hinn. But yet, Benny Hinn was part of creating this anti-Christian movement because all they think, Christians, look at this. This is the face of Christianity. No. So we have this culture war going on, and we have Benny Hinn in the middle of this. And not just Benny Hinn, you have all these other guys. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing broad communication. In fact, I do it here. And there's nothing wrong of saying, hey, help support my ministry because I need your help. And I've done that before, and here I am. I need your help. I can't do this by myself. And I do that because I do need your help. I need your help because I need equipment. I need certain things to help build this ministry and get this ministry moving to the level that I believe it can be so that we can really impact people's lives. That's why I ask for your help. Because I know for a fact this podcast goes all around the world. I know that. I see the numbers. I see what's going on in my back and the back portal of where the people that I use my podcast to. I know where who's listening and who's not listening. I see the numbers. And it's okay to do that. But what Benny Hinn is saying here now, he's saying, let me tell you something. Usually he would twist theology a little bit and say, listen, if you want God's blessing, you have to give. No. No. If you want God's blessing, you have to give one thing and one thing only. And that's your heart to Christ. That's all he wants. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your house. He doesn't want your car. He doesn't want anything material because he already owns it. What he wants is your heart and your complete surrender. When you call him Lord, you are saying, I am no longer my own. And then once he has your heart, he is going to change you and mold you and bless you that way. And I think Benny just got it. We'll see. We'll find out. I hope that he's changed his heart. I hope that these are genuine words. I hope he's not trying to pull a ruse. And I don't think he is, but we'll find out together right here. So this is important stuff. And the other thing about it is that the culture doesn't care about materialism anymore. I know. One of the areas that I study a lot is when I deal with apologetics. This is just me. I'm just going to speak straight to you here. I've studied and I've written multiple pages. I've done multiple seminars. I've done these things on the millennials. Now we have a new generation coming up. We haven't quite named it yet. But the number one thing that the millennials care about, this is it. This is it right here. Ready? They want truth. They want genuine truth. They want to see genuine love. And they don't want to jump through hoops. They're not going to be unapologetic about it. They want to know the truth. And then they want to see who is talking about this truth and are they living up to the truth. That's when I first started this podcast. I talked about rhetoric. Go back and listen to it. It was the very, very first podcast I did on the Justin James Show. I did it on rhetoric. The other thing is that television or televangelists are dying. One, because they're getting old. And two, that culture is not even supporting them anymore. And I think Benny sees that. I think he's like, okay, the culture's changing. I need to probably reassess where I need to stand. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Email me. We'll have the discussion. I hope that you have a beautiful week. I hope that the Lord blesses you immensely this week. I hope that he shows you something through his word that you've never seen before. I hope that you fall more in love with Jesus. More and more throughout this next week. And I hope that the Lord blesses you and gives you peace through his son, Jesus Christ. I really do. Well, that's all I have today, and I will see you next week. In the meanwhile, God bless you. And remember who your first love needs to be. It's not me. It's not your spouse, which is important. It should be God. Are your eyes on God? Or are your eyes on other things? Well, we'll talk to you later.
Justin James.